Blog Talk Radio.
Chris Gamble hits one deep to right center. That ball is out of here. Holy cow.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
It's over the wall. It's a home run for Bucky Ben.
Fumble. Giants have it. Lawrence Taylor strips the ball.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Wow. I still love to hear that opening every week. I have to tell you, folks,
how many times that I get pumped up. I look forward to this every week, but until I get up behind the mic and I got the headphones on, I hear that intro that Rich Floyer Studios put together for us. It pumps me up. I have to tell you, I just get pumped up. So right off the bat, welcome to another action-packed show. Lots to talk about this week in the world of sports and hard rock and metal music. I don't know where to begin. I got pages and pages of notes. There was no lack of finding something to talk about this week. There's all the stuff that you listen to on the radio. Ray Rice debacle, fiasco is all over the TV, the newspapers, social media. I understand the importance of it, but it's just been blown way out of proportion, and the NFL is doing its best now to try to get it off the front pages, but I think they waited too long to actually make this right. But that's for later in the show. I got a couple of brief announcements that I think it's best I'm going to get them out quick. Let's see. First and foremost, I want to do some wishes for people. I want to take a minute and wish my beautiful little granddaughter, Emmy Olivia Nieves, a happy first birthday tomorrow. She is the apple of all of our eye, and I love her. And I want to go out first thing on the show and say, happy birthday, Emmy. We all love you. To wish my parents a happy 47th wedding anniversary today. Two greater parents a person could not have. And coming from their greatest work, which would be me, I want to say I love you and happy anniversary. And I'm looking forward to going out to dinner tomorrow night to celebrate. So, again, happy 47th to my parents. I love you very much. I do have to acknowledge today, I know this is the Hard Rock and Sports Show, but I would be remiss if I didn't have a little something to say. So we have a little press release this week from the staff here at Hard Rock and Sports. And here it is. We here at Hard Rock and Sports want to take a moment to remember all those who lost their loved ones during the terror attacks at the World Trade Center on 9/11/2001. We also want to remember those who lost their lives trying to save others during this tragic event. To all of our first responders and those who perished that day and the ones who continue to protect us today, we say thank you, and your selfish acts will never be forgotten. Again, we'd like to bring the show down here, folks, but we would be remiss if we did not mention today and the anniversary of the terror attacks on the World Trade Center. Let's see. I got some more. Let's get some more stuff out of the way. Big announcement. Big announcement, folks. The benefit for Lifestyles of the Disabled, for the disabled, for September 20th at 5th and Vine has been canceled. That's right, folks. Unfortunately, in a short press release from the Rock and Relief Organization, essentially they stated that too many bands had backed out at the last minute, and unfortunately The event had to be canceled. Not enough participation. And unfortunately, this event will be canceled. So I've been promoting it and hyping it and trying to get all my friends and family to come out and support the event and me as well. I would say, hold on. I'm sure Joe will come up with another event in the near future. And you'll be able to come down to that one, hopefully. But in the meantime, that event is canceled, unfortunately. So everybody can go out there and plan your Saturday night to do something else. So I want to get that out of the way. Let's see. Just trying to go through my notes, make sure. I want to get out to my first update for the week. Sorry, folks. I got knocked off the air real quick. I'm back. Again, Monsignor Farrell cruises to a 45-0 win over Overbrook of Philadelphia last Saturday night in their opening game of the season, led by their trio of running backs and young quarterback Mike Lopsy. They cruised to a significant win. A quick press release, as a matter of fact, from Coach Jim Bradley, Farrell this week. I am proud of the way my kids performed last week in our initial win over Overbrook. We got strong performances from all three of our backs, and I was especially happy how our young quarterback performed and handled himself. We will need to get... Okay, folks, I'm sorry again. We're having all sorts of technical problems this evening. So we already got on the board with our friends over at Monsignor Farrell. So we're going to move on the show now to other things. Okay, so now that we've done our press release from Monsignor Farrell, we've done all our birthday and anniversary announcements. And again, I apologize for the technical problems. It's just the way the way this thing works sometimes, folks. The Internet's a crazy place. All right, let's go on to the Ray Rice situation. One more thing on my thing. I apologize, folks. Here at Hard Rock and Sports, we want to wish a speedy recovery to Green Bay Packer great Bart Starr, who suffered a mild stroke. Seems he's recovering well. And we want to wish Bart Starr, one of the greats, a speedy recovery. And many more years of good health. All right, Ray Rice. Here's my take, folks. This situation was handled poorly from the start. I think that's all been acknowledged by the NFL, the commissioner himself, and everybody around it. You know, Charlie, the postman, was the first guy to call in about this situation, and he was right. It was a travesty that he had only gotten two games suspension. There's a lot of other people, other players who have done less serious infractions have gotten more time. You get more time off for failing a drug test than Ray Rice got for domestic abuse. So I thought that was the first time that they handled it incorrectly. Now, the second time that I believe this was handled incorrectly was after coming back and saying, okay, we made a mistake, and we are now going to say that anybody first offense for would be a 6-game suspension automatically. I thought that was close to being fair. I still think it should have been half a season, but okay, 6 games is fine. The tape surfaces and it hits the airwaves. Everybody is in an uproar, and the next thing you know, football says, okay, Ray Rice is now suspended indefinitely. Well, what does indefinitely mean? Shouldn't it be, okay, we've changed our mind, he's now getting the max, which is 6, well, and max is the total. Max is the, 6 games is the official first offense. I think it's after the second offense, if you're dumb enough to have one, you now get a full season, I believe. So why all of a sudden did it change to be not only another an upgrade on the suspension based on the original 2 games, why indefinitely? I mean, that's not the protocol.
I'm shocked that the players union hasn't stepped up and said, hey, you've overstepped your bounds. Now, maybe this is a hot-button topic, and the players union's treading lightly, but as much as I think he should be suspended for the season, for life maybe, there is a protocol. You just said it. You said that if from this point on, if somebody's convicted of a domestic abuse charge, that you get 6 games. So if they wanted to upgrade to the 6 games, I would understand. But an indefinite suspension makes no sense. So now you've contradicted yourself twice. So instead of the commissioner coming out, stepping up, going to the microphone and saying, hey, listen, I have made a mistake. We're trying to rectify it. You know, we looked at all available information. They say nothing. And now it comes out this week that the NFL had this other tape of what happened inside the elevator. To me, it doesn't matter. You know, the severity of the fight, the punch, the act, really to me means nothing. You know, whether he slapped her, spit at her, or decked her, to me is irrelevant. I'm sorry, it's irrelevant. The act is the act is the act, and he should be suspended based on what happened. But you can't tell me now that it's worse because we actually saw it. To me, it's the same act that he got suspended for 2 games for. I disagree with it then, and I still disagree with it. You know, some point, you just look like you're making decisions based on public opinion, and that is never good. You know, you're the NFL, set your precedent, and live with it. You wanted to beef it up to 6 games? I don't think anybody would have complained. I don't think that you could have done better than more than that, and they may not. They may still let him back in at the 6K. I doubt it after this uproar. But now they've allowed Roger Goodell to basically hire somebody to investigate him to see if this was handled correctly. Did they actually have this infamous tape? And to me, again, the tape means nothing. Again, you saw enough of him dragging her out. There was acknowledged that there was a fight. But when they got the tape, did they have the tape? Is there a cover-up? I don't get the fact of a cover-up. Why would the NFL cover up for Ray Rice? I have a hard time wrapping my head around the fact that the NFL would go out there and say, hey, Ray Rice, we're going to suspend him. He's been arrested. We're going to hide the tape because we don't want anybody to see it. We don't want to acknowledge it. I don't understand. Ray Rice is nobody in the realm of the NFL. He's a good ball player who was probably very well liked, but to put him in a position where you're going to cover up what he did, I can't imagine that that's what the NFL was trying to do. They may not have did their due diligence, but I personally cannot believe that the NFL would enact a cover-up to save Ray Rice's butt. I would think they would almost be too happy to say, hey, you know, we got more information, and we're going to suspend him for life because of the severity of the whole thing. And again, the severity of it, to me, means nothing. Whether it's a little punch or a big punch, he should be suspended for 6 games and have to do counseling. And my bigger problem is the law enforcement basically treated this as a misdemeanor. You know, they're allowing him to do treatment and counseling, but no real charges. So why is the NFL being asked to be the bigger power in this case? If anything, people should be out there chasing after the Atlanta County District Attorney and saying, hey, wait a second, didn't you have all this information? He should be going to jail for this. That I understand better. But you're giving a pass to the police, to the district attorney of Atlantic City, and asking Roger Goodell and the NFL, who again in the long run are just a sports entertainment business, to police society. And it doesn't make any sense to me. You know, people are in uproar over this, and I got it, and I understand it. And I'm not minimizing it, but there are players in the NFL who have been convicted of vehicular manslaughter, DWI, killing animals, and they're playing today or have played, and there hasn't been this much uproar. I'm not minimizing the fact that Ray Rice punched his fiancée, now wife. I'm not minimizing it. But there are people playing in this league who took another life, and they're playing, and I don't hear anybody yelling and screaming about it. So we've given a pass to law enforcement. We've given ourselves a pass because I didn't hear anybody else on the airwaves screaming and yelling that Mike Vick stole the league, you know, that Dante Stallworth came back to play, that Josh Brett, has been reinstated by the Cowboys, but is certainly being considered for it. And those guys are being welcomed back with open arms with no problem, yet Ray Rice should be out of football for life. Roger Goodell should lose his job for covering up. Folks, let's get our priorities straight. Yes, what Ray Rice did was heinous, and he deserves to be suspended. And if the Ravens or no other football team wants to bring him back, I understand it. But if we're going to scream and yell about this, and again, heinous, despicable act, then there should be more. Then we should put a morals clause in there that if you commit any sort of felony, you are not allowed to play football again ever. But I'll say that, why is football considered a job? And if you have this hanging over your head, you lose your job, you never can work again yet. There are construction workers, there are politicians who commit felonies and go to work the next day. So, you know, I think if a team doesn't want to hire you, I got you. If you want to put a three strikes and you're out clause, you're out. Or if you want an act to say, hey, if you're convicted of a serious crime, DWI, DUI, murder, back down the line, domestic abuse, you're out of the league, you cannot play again, go ahead and put it in. But until it's in, how do you keep Ray Rice from getting a job in the NFL? Again, I'm not trying to minimize this, folks. I'm just trying to say that let's get our priorities straight. Let's put the blame where it should be. The blame should be the district attorney for Atlantic County for giving him the minimum, and not prosecuting him. And again, Roger Goodell is wrong for not coming out, stepping up, and saying, hey, folks, I made a mistake. I'm going to fix it. Here's my thought on it. You know, hot button topic, we're going to resolve this and move on. And for that, he's paying the price, and he ultimately may lose his job. I think it's wrong if he does. I have to be honest with you. I think it's wrong if he does. I got a couple calls on the line. Maybe see if anyone wants to chime in on this topic. Good evening, caller. Welcome to the air.
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you. What's up, Pop?
Oh, you're the man. Listen, I got four questions right off the bat.
Go ahead.
Or actually, four things to say. Number one, happy anniversary to the Florios.
Thank you very much. I'll pass it on.
You got to pass it on. Number two, I hope you're paying for tomorrow's dinner. Number three, are you naked while you sit there by the radio?
Go ahead.
And number four,
do
you pay the electric bill? Why is this thing constantly going off?
Yeah, it's the internet. Folks, I'm going to welcome to the air Big Nick Marino, star of
How'd you know it was
tackle.
Me? I'm telling you, my friend, you're a genius. You're a genius on the radio.
Life.
You're a genius
ladies
on the radio.
I want you to know that this man was nearly cost me my liver back in the old days.
It's
this
all
is the
a
man
lie.
Who nearly cost me my liver.
This is all a lie. You know, you're the guy that made me stay out late. You're the guy that caused my mother to be upset with me because I was late for dinner because I was with you drinking shots. Everything you say is a lie when it comes to anything having to do with liquor.
Oh, my God. Well,
but listen,
we
it's
thank
a great.
You, we thank
listen,
you
dude,
for
I'm
the
just,
anniversary stuff. Do you have a want to talk about anything I've been talking about there, Mr. Marino?
Well, listen, this Ray Rice guy, he's punching women in the face. This is not a good thing. You know, this Roger Goodell guy, he's hiding videos. That's not a good thing. You know, I mean, you're picking on Michael Vick, who's part of now my Jets, by saying, you know, you got dog killers in the league. Listen, the bottom line is the Jets are going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to leave you with that, and that's it. Goodbye.
Thanks for calling in, Nick. Thanks for calling in. I disagree with the Super Bowl thing, but that's all right. That's Big Nick Marino, star of Staten Island Touch Tackle League fame. I got one on the call. I think Giuseppe's out there. Let's see if... Giuseppe, you calling in again?
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the show, Giuseppe. How can we help you?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and all the ships at sea. Listen, I got a...
The fans just don't like you for some reason. I don't understand it, but
I don't get it. First of all, man, do you know how to spell half the words that you use?
I'm not really sure.
I gotta believe that you probably are naked behind that goddamn microphone, and that's all there is to it. And I agree with this
and
guy.
Keep it clean for the folks on the air. I said naked.
You know, now if your body's dirty, that's something you got to get in a shower with. But anyway. Back to this Ray Rice thing. They did handle it ineffectively, in my opinion. Any of these NFL stars who think they walk on water. I mean, what the truck is going on here, man? These millionaires who are acting like they walk on water, have no regard for the law. This Michael Vick lowlife who got a second chance. Pac-Man Jones, all these other guys, that Dante Stallworth. Listen, these guys should not be allowed back in the NFL at any 6-game suspension, 12-game suspension. You make it to that level of play, you have to maintain some kind of decorum when it comes to your fan base and the message that you're sending out. You drag an unconscious woman out of an elevator. You kill animals for a sport and bet. You get drunk behind the wheel of a car and you kill somebody. There's no second chances. There shouldn't be any second chances. But the NFL, with all this money they're making and all these high-profile players who could get stuff done, who now really can't because Michael Vick's washed up. Half these other guys. Ray Rice is an average good running back at best. Why are they giving these 6 games? That's it. You're done. Because look what happened to all these other institutions. Ray Rice's high school's taken his everything off the wall. Madden took him out. Listen, you get one shot, and that's it. That's it. Listen, a drug charge, anything that can hinder your advancement towards the fan base of the NFL, and you get slapped in the wrist. It's a bunch of bullcrap, dude.
Okay, well, yeah, but let me ask you, Jeppy. You know, in life, aren't we taught to, you know, that a guy can be rehabilitated? And you know, let's say that was, you know, a guy who made a mistake in life, went to jail, came out. Is he not allowed to go back to work?
Listen, man, we're on a different level here than, you know, everybody gets a second chance.
So
are you saying playing professional sports
is a privilege?
Well, listen, you're damn right. To be in the limelight and to have millions of people follow you and worship you and spend their hard-earned money on a jersey or a football ticket, and you turn around and knock your fiance out in an elevator and then drag her unconscious body, or you are one of the hottest quarterbacks in the game and you train an animal to kill another animal and make money off it, and then everybody deny it till the cows come home. Hey, listen, your second chance was you went to prison for making a plea bargain instead of going for the full goddamn thing. No, no second chances for half these monkeys anymore, man, because they're crazy.
You know what, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I say at this point, until that is established as the rule, then we have to play by the rules that are there.
Well,
now,
then we need to change the rules. You were right. You need to get good at it. How stupid do you got to be watching the games?
Yeah, the only way you're going to ever make that happen.
No one's going to stop watching the game. You're just going to hate the individual.
Well, again, and I agree with you, but until you, me, and everybody else stop watching football, stop buying the jerseys, stop participating, there's going to be no recourse for that. People are not, they're not going to stop bringing back. You know, Michael Vick came back because he could still play in the league. Until people like us say, you know what, if Michael Vick's playing, we're not going to watch, and we don't do it, then maybe something will change. But until
all right,
then,
well, listen, you need to reach out to them 27 listeners of yours who need to sign a petition, okay?
don't think that's getting it done, but thank you for telling everybody.
No problem. Good luck, good luck, T-Bone. Always glad to hear you. It's put me to sleep. I'm out.
All right. Take care, Giuseppe. All right, folks. That was our weekly call from Giuseppe. I agree with some of his points. I don't agree with everything, but I do agree. And he did touch on something that I wanted to touch on as well, which was I found it very interesting that all of a sudden now Rutgers has removed his likeness. I think there's a picture of him hanging around the stadium. The Madden video game has removed him from their game, which, you know, again, all the other guys I mentioned are still on the video games. Why Ray Rice? Because it's that big a hot button topic. Guys, you know, folks, again, it's a terrible act. The guy deserves to be suspended. He probably deserves for no team to sign him again. I got it. I understand it. But at some point, you know, we got to prioritize. And if you're going to let the guys who are out there hurting people, killing people, playing the NFL, then you can't keep Ray Rice out specifically. If the teams want to send the message, don't sign him. Suspend him for the 6 games, and when the time comes, don't anybody sign him. But you know what? Some point, somebody will need a running back, whether it's this year or next year, and somebody will sign Ray Rice to a contract. Maybe it'll be some team out in the Midwest, maybe Kansas City, somebody with not a lot of media scrutiny, and Ray Rice will play football again. Unfortunately, it's the state of the NFL. If you can play and you can help the team win, you're going to play. That's it. So, you know, if anybody else is out there and they want to talk about it, by all means, call in. Again, my own personal opinion is Ray Rice should be suspended. I think any of these offenses should be an automatic year suspension. You should be suspended for an entire year, and at that point, if you've done everything you're supposed to do, counseling, jail time, whatever it's required, then you should, at that point you can petition to come back into the league. So, but to ask the NFL to govern our lives when your own prosecutors, law enforcement aren't doing it or don't consider it a severe enough case to do it, then why is Roger Goodell and the NFL being asked to do it on their own? And that's something that somebody has to make me understand. Got another call. Looks like my dad's on the phone again. Hold on a second, folks. Hello, Pop.
Hey, Tom. What's up, buddy?
Not much, Pop. So what's going on today?
Good. I was listening to your friend Giuseppe.
Yeah.
he's a car deck guy.
Yeah.
I agree with you, and I totally disagree with him. To me, is if you don't like what you see, either don't watch it, don't buy it. But it's not. I mean, you got people. Well, you got President of the United States committing all kinds of crimes, and you're worried about truth, justice, in the American way. This ain't Superman. There's no such thing in the world. You got guys playing football, baseball, that are crooks, that take drugs, and they Alex Rodriguez comes out and they give him a standing ovation. They boo somebody for hitting him with the ball, one of the players. Why? If you don't like what you see, don't watch it, don't buy it. Write the sponsor that's showing you the show. Whether it's football, baseball, tell them you don't want to see this guy play. That's the way you do it. But for football to come in and to prosecute, what this guy did was terrible. I mean, I have to agree with you terribly that there's no way in the world he should hit a woman, any woman for any reason like that. But it's not for the football to govern him.
Right.
Let the prosecutor.
Well, I mean,
the biggest thing is
you saw the original video. Everybody did. And based on that alone, should have been the outcry. Did it matter that you saw it on the inside and you saw him punch her in the face? Does that change how anybody sees this?
No, but the stupid part of this is, and I understand what Goodell did, but what makes me laugh more, she got up off the floor and married him. So who's the stupid one? How stupid can you be?
She defended him in the whole thing.
he punched you. He knocked you completely out. I mean, holy God, you got to be kidding. I've seen enough abuse, wife abuse in my lifetime to know if he hit you once, it's not the first time and it's not going to be the last time. And somewhere along the line, you're going to get a good beating. And she deserves everything she gets for just going back with him. But for football to come in here and to take over that thing, unless you have a clause with the players' union that you have this like a moral code, now you're setting it, that's a different story than they know before.
Correct.
Time.
But until you
but
do,
these guys playing football, these guys are half lunatics anyway.
Sure.
I mean, Sonny Liston was heavyweight champion of the world, and he was in jail more times than he was out. And he'd fight cops, take them down. You know, so it's a joke.
Agreed. And
the other thing
said,
I wanted to
ask, God.
Yeah. No, the only thing I wanted to talk about, I think I spoke to you earlier about when Mike said, was talking last week about era football, especially Don Hutson, who played for, he was a wide receiver with the Packers. And I have to agree with him, but I agree the opposite way. I don't think a lot of the players today could play in the old NFL or Major League Baseball or basketball because today, I mean, you have modern everything. You have modern the doctors. You have everything. You have a beautiful stadiums. You have medical. That's great. And like I told you before, I was watching an interview with Oscar Robertson. When they went on the road, they had no doctor. They had nothing. If you got hurt, you bandaged yourself up. If you had a dislocated shoulder, you played. Today, these guys, oh, forget, they don't do anything. So to compare an era, a guy that's Babe Ruth in his era, somebody says, well, if he plays today, he wouldn't have been. No, but he played against the cream of the crop, and he was still great. Same with Joe Louis. Joe Louis couldn't fight today because he was great in his era, and you might take him over anybody today. And that's what any sport, to compare the 50s to the 70s or the 90s or the 2000s, it's just ridiculous. You can't compare ball players.
Correct. I think in the era, you know, I think, well, let's say this, Dad. We had this quick conversation today. If you're an elite ball player, if you're Mickey Mantle, if you're Bob Gibson, if you're Gale Sayers, you could play any era.
I agree with you.
If you're
to compare,
the second-tier guy, in any era, you'd have a hard time playing anywhere else.
Okay, but it's the same thing here. If you took the second-tier player here and put him in the 50s, he probably couldn't play either.
Of course,
because, again, it's
primitive back then. You were taping your own ankles. You were taking care of your own self. Maybe these guys couldn't handle that.
And you played. You went out there with a dislocated shoulder. You went out with a guy's played. God, look at three quarters of them had no teeth in their mouth. They were still, I've never forget. I watched a hockey game, and I forgot what it was in the 60s. I think it was even Orland Curtin back for the Rangers. They had him on the bench, and he got into a fight, and they knocked out two of his teeth. They were stitching up his gums. He was bleeding on the bench. They were stitching up his gums, and he got back on his, and he was skating right after that. Today, the guy would have been out all year.
He would not have been back the rest of that game for sure.
I agree with you
that they were Iron Men back in the day. I think there are some people who can cross over eras. You know, the greats of greats can play anywhere at any time. But it's hard to compare. It's hard to sit there and say that so-and-so could play today and so-and-so can't play yesterday.
Right. But all I'm trying to say, you can't compare eras. You can't compare Jimmy Brown to today. You can't compare Joe Louis to today, Mickey Mantle to today, because you don't know what it was. You didn't.
Sure.
These guys, it took 60, 70 years, whatever it was, to break Babe Ruth's records. So what happened to all that time? So
Well,
I just let you know, and I appreciate you about the happy anniversary. We appreciate
it. You're welcome.
And we're not going to eat for the rest of the day today at the hour. All right.
Somebody fix a make you a big breakfast tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I'm waiting, man. All right, Tommy. Have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for calling.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, folks. That was my dad on his weekly phone call. I love when Dad calls in. It's always a lot of fun. He's got a lot of great points, and these are points I hear all the time. But it's great. Nobody should. Everybody should have a dad like I got. All right. So again, that, just to kind of wind down, if anybody else has another topic, hold on. I got one other call. Let's bring him on before I change topics. Good call. You're on the air. Hello? Caller? You there? Nope, I guess we lost our caller. All right, folks, again, the number 347-826-9934. If you want to call in and give me your take on Ray Rice or anything else that's on your mind, I'm going to switch topics a little bit here. And I'm going to quickly go to the Derek Jeter today and the Yankees in general. Folks, if you didn't see it, Derek Jeter had his goodbye, if you want to call it. I'm sure last game of the season there'll be some other stuff going on. You know how I feel about these things? Hold on, folks. I got my caller back on the end. I never like to keep anybody waiting, so I apologize. Caller's gone again. I don't know where he goes, but all right, let's keep going. So I thought it was handled extremely well. It was 40 minutes. Very interesting. Some of the people who were there and somebody who wasn't there. I thought it was extremely interesting that Andy Pettitte wasn't there. Oh, sorry, folks. I'm just answering somebody. Okay. Andy Pettitte not being there was a very big surprise to me. I know there was an article saying that he was essentially out elk hunting with his family. Kind of strange that he couldn't have changed that and made that a different weekend to be there for the Jeter thing. Michael Jordan popping out, I thought was a great touch. Winfield being there since he was Jeter's idol. The regular cast of characters were Mariano, Posada, Paul O'Neill, Tino Martinez, you know, Harold Reynolds was a strange one. I didn't realize how Jeter and Harold Reynolds were tight, but that was a interesting one. I was expecting to see Yogi and Whitey. They weren't there. But I thought it was nice. I thought Jeter's speech was nice. A little interesting on the gifts, no cars. You know, it was kind of weird. Gifts were okay. I thought they did a great job. I was very happy he did not retire his uniform. That should be a year or two down the road. I thought, but otherwise, I really thought it was handled pretty well. Let's see. So, again, I not too much to complain about. I was very happy to say that went well. They obviously lost the game afterwards, and I think that goes on to my next part of my topic about the Yankees is, as well as their pitching, they cannot hit. And it's surprising that the Bronx Bombers would not be able to hit at all. I mean, folks, if you would not be able to feather. I have to be honest with you. That's a team that, if you told me before the season, couldn't pitch, I would have said, you're right. But to not be able to hit home runs, drive in runs, is very surprising to me. With Beltran and Teixeira, McCann, Ellsbury, to me that should be a potent middle of a lineup, and they're not. And I think the great baseball days for Mark Teixeira have passed. I think we all have to accept the fact that Mark Teixeira is a sixth or seventh place hitter who, unfortunately, is only hitting about .230 this year, and I don't expect to see him hitting much better than that in the future. So. I think it's time to, and I think the bigger problem with Mark Teixeira is him not staying healthy. And that'll take me to my next point, is there's a guy coming back next year to the Yankees, and Joel Sherman wrote a terrific article yesterday about Alex Rodriguez. And it's going to be a very interesting offseason for the Yankees. They really have an older roster. Even though you're losing Jeter, you don't have a definite shortstop. You have some spots, right field DH with Beltran, who now is out for the rest of the season with elbow problems, or at least could be. You're adding a 39, maybe going to be 40-year-old, I think he's going to be 39 next year, Alex Rodriguez, who played nothing this year and about 40 games last year. And what do you expect to get out of a guy who hasn't played in 2 years, coming off two major hip surgeries? I'm not sure what to expect. So, again, we got another call again, folks. Sorry to stop in the middle of a comment, but I don't like to keep anybody on hold. So we're going to pick up this call. Hip surgeries. Caller, you're on the air. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Big Lou from Staten Island.
Folks, look, hey, Big Lou, welcome back to the show.
I was listening.
For those of you don't remember, Lou was our sideline correspondent last week at the Giant game. Well, that was 2 weeks ago. And they did a fantastic job for us. Lou, what's on your mind this week?
I was listening, and I don't know if it was my phone or what, but I lost you for about 10 minutes.
Apologize, Lou. We have technical difficulties. Okay. We need a better budget. The show needs a better budget.
Well, not to beat the Ray Rice thing, but all I got to say is a man cannot hit his wife, girlfriend, or Gumati. Man cannot hit a woman.
So you're going with the fact that even the Gumatis are a part of that?
That's right. You can't even hit the Gumati. It's a woman,
okay.
Somebody's daughter.
That's true, Lou. And you're a man with three. So, I mean, I think that especially hits home for you, no?
That's right. No matter how mad you get, you got to turn the other way. But I'm tired of hearing all Ray Rice stuff, but... Anyways, I was calling about the Giants. I don't know if you were touching on the Giants yet.
Not yet, but go ahead, Lou. We'll always take a good call about the Giants.
I was at the game in Detroit on Monday night, and as everyone's seen, it was a debacle. I don't know what to make out of it. It seems like they have no identity. They don't know. It's just like looks like a lost team. You know, I heard Troy Aikman on the radio before talking about it. He said that, you know, he just doesn't know what to expect. I'm at a loss for words. I usually have a lot of opinions, good or bad, on the team, and I don't even know what to think anymore.
I have to tell you, I heard the same interview, and I thought Aikman was being kind. I think it is a question. I think his biggest question was, you have a Super Bowl winning coach and quarterback, and you've stuck them with a guy who's never called an offense before, never designed an offense before, and basically handed them the keys to the team and said, go out there and win us a Super Bowl. And I don't know if it's his offense in general, if it has something to do with the players, but... You can't tell me that all of a sudden Eli Manning forgot how to play football. And that's what it looked like to me on Monday, that he didn't remember how to play anymore.
Right. Well, it's they're giving, like you said, a new guy the keys to the car. And you have a veteran quarterback and the oldest coach in the league who's been around for the game for all his life. And now they seem like they're taking a back seat to all of this, and it looks very confusing. And
it doesn't look like any of them on the same page. It doesn't look like any of them. The offensive line was really the most disturbing part of it. It seemed like every time they tried to throw the ball, he was on his back foot or darting off to one side or the other, and they could not open up a hole at all for him Jennings to run.
Right, and I also, not to get too technical, but I was watching one of the NFL Network or whatever. They were showing usually keeps his left foot back all his career. Now they got him with his right foot back in the shotgun. It's like he's off. Like I don't know if this is a good idea. You know, they
not a problem. Is how do you go back? Like, it's not even like it's the same the same offense and you change things around a little bit and you go back to the original, you know, you can't abandon it now. You know, you have to kind of drag it through, and hopefully at some point they all get it. But it's just turned them into too many times he's throwing passes and the receivers aren't looking for the ball. And he just seems to be completely befuddled by where everybody's supposed to be. And I thought the idea of this offense was to simplify things.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. When they hired McAdoo, I was happy. I was all for it. I figured it'd be something new. You know, start to see some quick passes instead of always throwing the ball downfield. But it doesn't seem if it takes half the season, it might be too late. They might be looking at like 2-6, and then before it starts clicking at all.
Yeah, I hate to say the second game of the season ever being a must-win, but I have to say for the confidence of this team and not to get into a situation where you're going, oh, no, we can't start off 0-6 again, I think this is a huge win this week. One way or the other, I don't care if they score 7 points or they win 3-0, they have to win this game this week.
Yeah, I agree. It's a home game, and Cardinals usually don't play well coming to the East Coast.
Yeah,
and they have to win this game.
But
I was surprised that the miscommunication on defense.
I was just going to say the same thing. My biggest surprise out of the whole night was how bad the defense played.
Yeah, they were. I mean, like I said, I was at the game, and they looked confused. Also, I don't know if it was because they have Thurman and Rogers Cromartie playing, and for the first time, you know, they're new on the team. But there were some coverage breakdowns. Obviously, Calvin Johnson's wide open for a 70-yard touchdown.
Oh, I think the bigger problem I had was it looked like Stevie Brown was a step slow every time. They still cannot rush the quarterback. And the only guy out there who looks like he's playing, I'll give it two guys. I love the way John Beeson plays, and I think Antrell Roll is a demon on the field. Short of that, if you change the rest of the nine guys, I don't have a problem with it at this point.
Well, the one thing that annoyed me, I saw a breakdown of how many snaps each guy played.
Yes.
And DeMontre Moore played 10 defensive snaps. He has to play more than that.
I'm going to blame that on that one play where Stafford juked him and then threw the touchdown to
Johnson.
To Megatron. And I guarantee you that was Coughlin putting him on the bench to teach him a lesson, which I hate when he does.
I agree.
And I think that was specifically he missed the play and Coughlin benched him to teach him a lesson.
I agree with you. But, you know, he's one of the only guys who could put pressure on the quarterback. I mean, so he got faked out, but he wasn't the only one. You know, I mean, they just seemed to pick on him. He's a young kid, and he's a guy that could give us a little energy. You know, and he only played 10 snaps.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a big Kiwanuka fan. I'm a big believer in rotating the ends. You know, keeping them fresh, especially that, you know, none of them are playing dominant football. So to me, get somebody out there, find a combination that works for you. You know, like I said, I was very disappointed in the defense, and I think a big showing by them is needed this week because that's no slouch. That team has a lot of weapons on offense, the Arizona Cardinals. So this is not going to be an easy game.
And the last thing, they need Beckham. He's your number one pick, and they need. You know, he's an explosive player. They need him for returns and to play receiver. So I don't know.
It doesn't look like he's coming anytime soon. I just saw it today that he's starting to feel comfortable. I think you're not going to see him until midseason.
And then when some people talk about him, you know, that he's not playing, he has never missed a game. If I'm not mistaken, he never missed a game in college. So it's not
correct.
I mean, he just
Correct.
He tore his hamstring, as you know, from playing sports. If you do something like that, there's nothing you could do. You know, it's not. I'm not mad at him per se. Like saying, you know, this guy's got to get out there. I mean, it just takes time. I mean, but the result is we need him. You know, so hopefully the next couple
absolutely.
Of weeks. But I'm not ready to give up yet. One good win, you know, Philadelphia's playing at the Colts this week. They, you know, after
yeah.
Sunday, they could be 1-1, and we could be 1-1, and all of a sudden, you know, you start looking at it differently.
I said it. I would like to see them 3-1 at the end of September, but I would take 2-2.
Right.
And you got to take 2-2, but I'd like to see him go 3-1, so we'll see. This is a big one. I think you got to get this one. And then you got Washington, and I'm trying to think who the third, fourth game is, but I think you got to come out of September at least 500.
They have the Texans at home after the Cardinals at home, so those are two winnable games, and then the Redskins is also a winnable game. So
that's my point. So if it's ever time to go on a run, because then you get that middle of the season, it's very tough. So you got to get on a run here. 3-1 would be great. 2-2 at a minimum 2-2. Otherwise, I think it's going to be a long year for us, Lou.
And I'll let you go. I'll listen to the rest of the show. And the last thing I have to say is the Jet fans are starting already. They got to calm down.
Yeah.
They beat the Raiders at home in a close game. I'm already hearing the chatter of the Jets are the better team and all that stuff. We'll see what happens.
I'm gonna talk about the Jets in a little while, Lou. If you hear anything and you want to call back, by all means, because I feel the same way. And you'll hear it in a few minutes because I'm a little tired. They're already booking trips to Arizona for the Super Bowl, so we'll see. We'll hopefully it'll stop. So, but Lou, as always, thanks for calling in, pal.
All right, I'm gonna listen to the show.
Thanks, Lou. All right, buddy.
Bye.
That was Big Lou Pica checking in. All right, folks. Returning to our airwaves, back from his 1 week vacation. Back for his 10 minutes of fame, fortune, and glory is our very own correspondent, Todd Ricker. Todd?
How's it going, Tommy?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Thank you. Had a nice little hiatus. Was at a wedding last week, so couldn't really call in, but I'm here. I'm heading down to Baltimore tomorrow to go check out the Yankees in first person. And if anyone hasn't checked out a game that's in Baltimore's stadium, it's a great place to catch a game.
Yes, it is. I agree. We went down last year with the family, and it's not only a great place to see a game, it's a great place to hang out. Hanging out at the marina was beautiful, so I agree. And a beautiful stadium to watch a baseball game.
Yeah, it's a great day trip, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. It's turned it into a 4-day weekend with a little football game. Are they home tonight, the Ravens, or are they away?
The Ravens are home today. I believe.
Could have been a Ravens game and then an Orioles game right after. That would have really tested my cousin's patience.
Well, I want to talk about the Ray Rice thing real quick. I mean, I know everyone's talking about it, so I just want to put my two cents in.
Sure.
People are getting a little self-righteous here. I'd hate to see what half of us would be like if we had millions of dollars in the bank. I'm not saying I'd go around smacking women by any means, but people act like someone has to be perfect, otherwise they get banned for life. There is such a thing as second chances, and I mean, do I think he deserves it this season? No, but this was a colossal mess up from Jump Street.
Agreed. Yeah, I know you talked about it earlier on. You were all over Roger Goodell about the way he handled it, and I couldn't agree more. I think he's handled it poorly, right through and up to today.
Absolutely. And one of the things that people forget is what first this started, the whole reason the suspension was so light was because of the Jim Irsay thing. Jim Irsay was arrested for driving under the influence of whatever narcotics he had. So Goodell knew that he had to suspend him. He's been so heavy-handed in the past that everyone, when he gave two games to Ray Rice, said probably the reason this is happening is because he doesn't want to give Irsay too much, and Irsay's his boss, so he doesn't want to suspend him too long. When he saw that backfire, that's when he came down heavy-handed with Irsay, but that's kind of where it blew up. But the first place that this really blew up was law enforcement. to be able to look at that video and have that video from day one and say, you know what, we're just going to give this guy a misdemeanor. Not only that, they also gave his wife a misdemeanor assault.
Right.
I don't know if headbutting a fist is a misdemeanor these days, but I can't see how that happens. So Goodell's following the lead of law enforcement, saying, okay, they gave someone a misdemeanor, I'm going to suspend the next amount of time. And then the Ravens did the same thing. They kind of took a backseat because they more saw the penalty than the actual action and said, okay, it's not that bad of it's a misdemeanor. We're not going to come down heavy-handed on it. But the one thing that's different with this case, that's different from every other case that you've talked about today, whether it be Vic or Josh Brandt or whatever, is there's video. And I can sit here and tell you all day long, hey, Lawrence Taylor snapped Joe Theismann's leg. And you're like, wow, really? But when you see it, the impact of seeing it is what's tough.
Agreed. But again, if I told you that Ray Rice punched his wife, and I show you a video of it, should it change the outcome in the end? No, it's the same act, whether you see it or I tell you about it. It's still the same act. To me, one has nothing to do with the other. I understand the severity of it, but to me, do I need to show you a shot of the accident scene from Josh Brent's, totaling of his car and killing his friend?
But words never have as much impact as the actual vision of it.
Agreed.
That's just because when you first heard about this, you were like, wow, she was unconscious in the elevator. And that it was a passing thought. It's like, I can't believe he did that, whatever. And everyone moved on. But the second they saw that is when the impact really happened.
Again, agreed. But my point is, if you're the NFL, you have to take what you have in front of you and talk to everybody who's involved. You do your due diligence, and then you make your judgment based on that. Why is it not more of a government issue? Why are we not screaming and yelling about the Atlantic County prosecutors who saw the same evidence and basically gave them a walk in the park?
Yeah. Well, let's not act like this is the first time that law enforcement's taken it easy on a high-profile person.
Agreed.
This is a rock and sports show. Vince Neil killed someone drunk driving and got 15 days in jail.
Right.
I don't blame Vince Neil.
I blame the people who let him get off in 15 days.
Absolutely. I'm never going to turn around and if someone's like, hey, Todd, we're going to slap you on the wrist. Like, no, you need to punish me harder.
Right.
I don't blame any of that. You have to look at law enforcement and say, if they would have done their job in the beginning, maybe the NFL would have put the right suspension in place. Maybe the Ravens would have said, we can't have this on our team. And we would have gotten to this months ago, so it's not a big story when I'm trying to enjoy a football game tonight.
Right, but again, I can't sit there and say, why am I asking the NFL to be, the ultimate governing authority on this and not blame the Atlantic County prosecutors for not doing it? If the Atlantic County decided this wasn't that big a deal, why shouldn't the NFL feel the same way? I can't. That's the ultimate power. Should be your government. They're the ones who should say, by the way, Ray Rice, you're not playing football. You're going to jail for 2 years, and don't worry about what suspensions you get because you're going to be out of football for 2 years.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's where it's got to start. It's not the NFL's position, I think. It's not their responsibility to tell us who should and who shouldn't be role models. They put a product on the field that we enjoy. If you don't like the people playing the game, don't turn the game on. You don't buy their jersey. You don't buy their shirt. And that's how you do it as a consumer.
Correct.
It's not – the NFL has some responsibility there, but, again, not – it doesn't all fall on them. People should
And, again,
be
if you want to tell me – and I'm all for – if you want to tell me that you're convicted of a crime of this magnitude and it's automatically you're suspended for a year and you have to go through all this protocol and show that you've changed as a person – I'm all for it. I think mm-hmm. anybody's should be given a second chance. But I think, to me, right now, I think the punishments don't fit the crime. To give him 2 games and give a guy who failed a drug test, because he took the wrong medication, 4 games is completely out of whack.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely hear you. So, it's just something that it amazes me that this time next week, Roger Goodell could be out of a job, but the Atlantic City prosecutor probably will still have it. That's the person whose job should be gone.
And you know what? And next season, Ray Rice will be playing football someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the thing that bothers me. And why would Roger Goodell cover this up is the thing I keep asking everybody. What's in it for Roger Goodell to save or hide this about Ray Rice? I mean, really, other than say I gave him too short of a time, he should have been, here's the video, we didn't see it. Based on this, we're going to give him more time. But to me, why would they, everybody's talking about a cover-up, why would they cover this up?
I think it has to do with the Jim Irsay thing. Trying to be able to go light on Jim Irsay, if you went strong on Ray Rice, wouldn't have worked. The players would have been in an uproar. That's why you kind of got to give them, and then you get to give back to the owners. And it didn't work. It flat out didn't work. The whole thing was a mess from the jump street. But the fact of the matter is football season's back, so we can start talking about what's happening on the field as opposed to off the field. Have you had a chance to see Antonio Brown drop kick the punter in the face?
Yes, I did see that. And I did not see anything all week, and I should have checked the website a little bit more to see if he got suspended anymore, got a bigger suspension, because if that wasn't he couldn't possibly, he was trying to hurdle, that needed to be a half-season suspension for that move.
Do yourself a favor, go to YouTube, look up Antonio Brown Karate Kid. They mash up Mr. Miyagi and him kicking that guy in the face. It's fantastic. You won't stop laughing. Your listeners, go out and YouTube it. It's definitely 5 minutes well spent.
I have to say, I've seen a lot of stuff in all my years of watching football. That may be the stupidest play I've ever seen.
He's saying in his head, this guy's going to go low. I'm going to jump. And he went to jump, and as soon as he went to jump, he goes, oh, wow, he's not going low. I'll just kick him in the face.
It's definitely the stupidest move I've ever seen, and I have not seen anything yet anywhere. And if anybody has seen something, please pass it on to me. I want to see.
I haven't heard anything about a fine or anything.
Yeah, I have not seen a thing, and I'm very surprised about it. In fact, if it wasn't for the Ray Rice thing, it probably would have got a bigger play in the sports talk world. But because Ray Rice thing is kind of blown out there, that's kind of low on the radar screen. So, but yeah, very interesting move.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be a great season. I'm looking forward to it. Seattle's D looks tough as ever. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's the one-week reaction, but you look at it and you say they're going to be tough, and you look at some of the bumps on the horizon for the Giants, and I don't know. It's going to be an interesting season. Hopefully the Giants can pull their offense together, you know, get some serviceable linemen out there to block someone, because right now Eli's turning his front shoulder as soon as he dips and as soon as he lets go of the ball, and that's so he doesn't get hit. So, but
yeah,
I just want to end with the week.
Go ahead.
Floyd Mayweather. How stupid can you get? Everyone's mad at this guy. No, wait, be mad at me. You don't bring up that you have 3 domestic violence charges because Ray Rice is in the spotlight. You have a pay-per-view event tomorrow night. You don't want people protesting it. I guess he's a big fan of the there's no such thing as bad publicity, but I got to tell you, this is bad publicity.
Again, there's a guy best unsaid. And that is one stupid guy, I have to tell you. But you know what? Everybody's going to watch the fight. Everybody will pay for the fight. And it won't detract it for a minute. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about your Eagles. A very interesting game this week.
I was on the edge of my seat for the first half. You know, the beers flowed a little faster than usual because of the of what was happening on the field. But Nick Foles had 3 turnovers in the first half, and he had 4 turnovers all of last year.
Yeah,
so it was
a little unsettling.
It was a little unsettling. He holds on to the ball too long. He doesn't keep his eyes down the field, and I don't think he trusts his arm enough. He doesn't like to fit it in the tight window. Somebody's got to be running pretty wide open for him to be confident enough to let go of it. So luckily that offense masks a lot of his problems, and hopefully it'll be a better game to watch this Monday night. But I think Andrew Luck's a tough quarterback, and it's going to be a good battle out there.
I think so. I think it's probably the game of the week as far as I didn't do a real big study so far of the next week's games, but I would say looking at that may be one of the marquee games of the week. Usually Monday night they try to make Chicago Frisco also being another big game. Let me ask you before I let you go. Did you watch any of the Cowboy debacle just to finish on the NFC East?
I'm so glad you didn't call that a game because it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a football game.
Man, Romo made Eli look like Peyton 5 years ago.
I heard an interesting one on that one. Somebody said he's the smartest quarterback before the snap and the dumbest one after they'd ever seen.
That's a great analogy. I like that. I'll have to steal that.
Yeah, please.
But all right, Tommy, thanks for the time. Tell that drunk guy that keeps calling in. I said happy anniversary. And
I will pass it on.
We'll all catch up soon.
You guys, I'll say hello to Chris from you, okay?
All right, take care.
All right, guys. Thanks, Todd. All right, folks, that was Cousin Todd checking in. While I just finished with Cousin Todd, I want to send a little shout-out to my Uncle Bob, who's been in the hospital, Staten Island, for over a week now. And I want to wish him the best and a speedy get out of the hospital. I know he's feeling the effects of sitting in the hospital bed. And Uncle Bob, we love you, and we can't wait for you to get out and see you back to normal. All right, so Todd helped me get through my Giant. Todd and Lou helped me get through my Giant stuff. And Mike, if you're out there, call back. I had you on hold for too long. So, Mike Klops, if you're out there, give me a call back. So, go back to my Yankee talk. We got about 20 more minutes, and then we're going to move on to music this week, folks. I have been neglecting music for a couple of weeks. But so, with all the sports in the world, I've been neglecting music. So, I have some stuff I want to get to. So about 20 more minutes of sports talk, and then we're going to move on to music. Again, the phone number is 347-826-9934. About 7:40, New York time. We're having a good time. A lot of great callers. I got to thank everybody, even Nick Marino, for calling in. And keep moving the show along. We've got some hot topics, and you guys are, as usual, really, really great, and I appreciate every one of you. Folks, while I got a minute, I just want to ask you, do me a favor. If you like the show, if you listen to the show, if you like me, go on the website and hit the follow button. It gives me an opportunity to send you guys updates, let you know what's going on, and what's coming up on the show, in case there's a change in time. It'll give you kind of an update. So please, if you get a minute, go to the website. You'll see a little button up here. I can't believe it's in the left-hand corner. It says follow. You hit it. And you'll automatically get updates through Facebook or your email through the site. Will definitely send you out some information and keep you up to date on all the stuff I'm doing. So, and again, I appreciate everybody who does listen. I'm getting a lot of great stuff from people. You know, a lot of great comments through my Facebook page, through emails, through phone calls. You know, the show hasn't exactly caught wildfire. I have a pretty steady audience, and I'm hoping to grow it, and I'm having a great time doing this, and I really want to thank everybody who listens. Again, I also want to remind everybody that next week's benefit show, again, is canceled. The Lifestyles for the Disabled benefit from Rock and Relief for September 20th is canceled due to lack of support from the bands. Joe Gansis, we thank you, and hopefully, Joe, you won't give up. And you'll do some more stuff, and hopefully we'll get some better bands who will honor their commitments. So again, no benefit show next week. Keep your ears open, folks. Dante's Inferno is itching to get out there and play, and hopefully I can talk to the rest of the guys to a show somewhere. We'll go out there and perform and entertain you. In the meantime, I'll just continue to entertain you on the radio because that's what I do. That's what I love to do. So back to the Alex Rodriguez. The Yanks are beholden to A-Rod for another 3 years, $60 million. It's been talked about. We don't know what we're going to get. I think Alex Rodriguez, the minute the season's over, has to show up in Tampa, run the bases, swing a bat. And I thought the best part of Joel Sermon's article was put a first baseman's mitt on him. You know what? Maybe he can't play third base full-time. You know, maybe he's kind of a first baseman, third baseman, DH. It allowed him to keep staying in the lineup more, maybe a little less wear and tear playing third. Although, you know, guys, don't think first base is a position you just put somebody out there and, you know, it's a no-brainer. First base, a lot of movement around. There's a lot of moving parts to that position. being a former first baseman myself, I will go on a record and say that, that it's not just a position you can hide somebody. So, but I think it's an interesting place with the way Teixeira has played, been injured, to have Rodriguez to be a guy that could play, maybe get a half a season out of him. But I tell you what, folks, you can hate Alex Rodriguez. You can wish him not back. He's coming back. Short of getting hurt again, he will be back. And I have to tell you, he's at least somebody to watch, whether you watch him to hate him, watch him to like him, root for him because he wears your team colors. If you're taking Jeter out of that team, not only are they not a good team, they're not interesting. There's nobody there that you're going to say, hey, I'm going to watch Ellsbury play today. It's just not happening. Now, if they play well, people are going to watch. But that star power, that star quality that is the Yankees, without A-Rod, is not there. So I think that Alex Rodriguez coming back next year is a big point. You know, obviously the other points are, you know, Tanaka, we're hoping, you know, he's got a simulated game on Monday in Tampa. I think that's going to be a big – I still say he should not pitch in a game this year. I don't care how well he feels. At this point, fatigue, you wind up hurting the shoulder, you hurt something else on your body. You know what? Let him throw all the simulated games he wants, throw batting practice, make sure he's healthy for training camp. I'd even be okay with going down to the instructional league and throwing a couple of games just to see. But to drag him to a major league game, I think not. That I wouldn't do. So that's my take on the Yankees. The Mets, not worth it. They're playing better, bringing the kids up. Who cares, to be honest with you? It's, you know, the Mets have been irrelevant since maybe the All-Star game or before. Yeah, it's a shame. I still say you have to spend money, make trades. You have a wealth of pitching. Trade some of it, and let's get somebody in here to help David Wright. But we'll do a wrap-up of the Major League Baseball season at some point, and we'll talk more about the Mets, the Yankees, and probably right before the playoffs. We'll have a couple people on, and we'll have a quick conversation about baseball. But as far as the Yankees, you know, they're still in it. They need to go, I think it was like 16-5, to really, really, really give themselves a chance. Consider they haven't been more than 8 games over 500 at all this year. I find it hard to believe, but keep winning. Last night was a big win. The night before was a big loss. You can't afford to lose. You need to go on a couple of 7-8 game runs. I don't think it's impossible, but likely is not probably going to happen. All right, so we touched on the Yankees, we touched on the Giants, we spoke about the Mets. Let's get 14 minutes left before we got to move on. So let's talk about the Jets. I thought that Geno Smith played better than I expected him to. Now again, folks, let's caution ourselves. It was the Raiders. I would bet you this year the Raiders don't win more than 3 or 4 games. It's a team that spent a lot of money on a lot of questionable players. Justin Tuck is the top of my list. So my question is, what do we gain watching that the Jets this week? What do we notice this week? Oh, I thought they ran the ball pretty well. I thought Geno Smith again made some bad plays. So he's gonna get some stupid turnovers. I think the biggest thing I noticed is he's still not sliding. You know, he's still running to run the football like he's playing in college. And I think somebody in the Jets has got to, whether it's his own teammates, the coaches, somebody's got to get to him and say, slide. Slide, DiMaggio, slide. Because he's going to get himself hurt. And Vic, we all know, is one good play away from being on the bench himself from an injury. So, other than that, I can't criticize anything I saw with Geno Smith. Too many penalties, folks. I think they had 6 in the first quarter alone. It's too many stupid penalties, too many over-aggressive penalties. At some point, it's going to bite you in the butt. You know, I think they have to score points. You got out of that game, and you can, again, Lou brought it up before. I listened to the Jet fan, and they're crowing, oh, we're going to be a great team on defense. Guys, it's the Raiders at home, across country. Please, you barely won the game. I love the way David Carr played. Again, not enough weapons around him, not enough time. If they had played that game second half of the season, I'm telling you, I think the Jets might have lost that game. I think when David Carr gets some games under his belt, he will be a different quarterback for that team. So, having said that, they won the game, and a win is a win is a win is a win is a win. So, big problems I have is I keep hearing this, don't worry, D. Milner's going to be back. We'll be fine. Last year, I heard Jeff Van saying he was a bust. What has D. Milner done between the end of last season and the start of this one that I should go, oh, I'm going to buy a D. Milner jersey because he's great? What has D. Milner done? Why do I think he's better than he was at the end of last season? Now, maybe he's going to come out this week if he does play, and it's a big week. Jordy Nelson, Cobb, the whole bit. Maybe he goes out there and he attacks that team and he plays really well and he shuts me up. But I have to tell you, I'm not expecting any miracles out of D. Milner, and I think I'm going to go out there and go on a limb and say he's going to get toasted. And I think at some point in the next couple of weeks, the Jet fans who can't wait for him to be back are going to be calling for his head. That's my opinion. But I'm allowed to have it. The other part of the Jets I want to talk about real quick. I want to move on to a couple other sports-related topics before I move on to my music. Can Calvin Pryor shut up and play football for a few weeks before he basically puts on the same level as the Packers? I'm going to read you a quick quote. When everybody thinks about Aaron Rodgers, they have to think about the New York Jets defense as well. We're playing on an even playing field. Why? Why? Because you beat the Raiders last week? Because they lost to the Seahawks? On paper, the Green Bay Packers are a much better team than the Raiders are at this point. Aaron Rodgers is probably the best quarterback in football with one of the best receiving corps in football. Why are the Jets also on the same level as the Packers? Their defense did not overwhelm us. They played extremely well against a very inefficient Raider team, against a young quarterback who marched up and down the field a couple times on them. Why all of a sudden is... why is Calvin Pryor at this point saying anything? You know what? Forget about the quote. Why is he saying anything? Win four or five games, win some big games before you get the chalkboard out. Please, guys. That's the reason I hate the Jets. Shut up. Play the game. Win or lose, play the game. And if you win at the end of the year, crow all you want. So that's my take on the Jets. Big game for the Jets this week going to Lambeau. I think it's a true test. If they come out of there with a win, I'll be very, very impressed. The Giants again home to Arizona. Big test for that defense. That's a good offensive team. No slouches. So I think both teams have their work cut out. I think it's a bigger win for the Giants than the Jets. The Jets could lose and still be okay. Although, again, this is a stretch for the Jets coming from now through week 7 where they face top 10 quarterbacks, top 5 quarterbacks every week. So the Jets, this may be one of those games where you say, catch them early. They're not playing exceptionally well. Let's go out and get them. But I have the feeling Green Bay going home, 10 days off, Lambeau Field, opening day in Lambeau Field. I think the Green Bay Packers are pumped, and I think they're going to be out for blood. And I think if they get off early, the Jets are in for a big problem next week, or this Sunday, actually. So let's move on. Real quick, Rutgers gets opens up their Big Ten schedule this Saturday night, prime time against Penn State. Both teams are 2-0, but there's a different class here, folks. I've watched Penn State play twice. They're an okay team, but I still think they're lights out ahead of where Rutgers is. Not a bad team to get started off against. You know, they're not a Penn State is not the powerhouse they once were, but I got to think that Penn State wins this game by 20. Again, you kick it off an error now at Rutgers. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great game to see. Right here over in Piscataway. And good luck to Rutgers. I'm rooting for Penn State. I'm a Penn State fan. But no problem with Rutgers. And I hope they go out there and have a good showing for their fans. And I hope it's a great game because I'm going to be watching it in prime time. So, while we're on the subject of college football, let's just talk about tough week last week. Big Ten, Michigan State lost. Michigan lost to Notre Dame, embarrassingly so. Nebraska needed an all-time play from Amir Abdullah to come out with a victory over, I think it was McNeese State. So the Big Ten not playing well early. The USC debacle with Pat Hayden coming out to the sideline. I don't even know how to take that one, folks. That's a tough one, I have to tell you. I don't understand it. I watched the Oregon Ducks and Michigan State play. I thought that was a great game. The Ducks should have lost. There was a point in that game where Michigan State had them on the ropes. They were ahead. They had a third and 11 or a third and 13 Oregon State. They flushed Mariola out of the pocket and with a chance to sack him. And probably that was the point of the game. If they had sacked him, I think they'd go on and win the game, Michigan State. But he flips the ball out to the back. The back gains 14 or 15 yards, first down. And from that point on, it was all Oregon. And I had to say ugly uniforms. Oregon's got the worst uniforms I've ever seen, maybe next to Maryland. But very interesting game. I watched the entire Virginia Tech-Ohio State game, which was a very good game, rooting my butt off for Virginia Tech. And they came out and they beat Ohio State in Ohio at the U. And I thought that was tremendous. Great win. That was a great win for that team. And let's see. We got anything else on that? On that end, we'll start moving on to. Oh, I got a commercial. Forgot to read my commercial, folks. What are you waiting for? Let's get my commercial out there. This is an interesting one, folks. I'm sorry. It's a little long commercial. Take a minute to listen to this one, folks. PolyGram Records needs your help. That's right. PolyGram needs you to find the original members of Staten Island's underground metal band. Sacrifice. That's right. From 1983, this groundbreaking, revolutionary band was the forerunner to bands like Anvil, who I consider the second most unknown band of all time. Sacrifice was ahead of its time and on its way to being a major force in Staten Island music scene. Unfortunately, certain lifestyle changes and an unusual incident with a moose derailed Sacrifice and its members, drifted off only to be seen together once in public 3 years ago. PolyGram is asking the listeners of Hard Rock and Sports to try and find the whereabouts of the three main members and their one practice lead singer. If you can identify these members, you will be guests backstage. You will be given backstage passes to a 31st anniversary concert that they are trying to organize. This record company wants to acknowledge and celebrate the talent that was Sacrifice. If you have any information regarding their whereabouts, please contact John E. Digga Digga at 1-800-2-LOUD. Sorry, folks, that's a paid spot for Matt PolyGram Records. I want to tell you that I grew up in that neighborhood. I do remember the band. They were ahead of its time. The drum was a little off, but a great band. And If you have any knowledge of their whereabouts, beside the phone number, you can email them to me at tmaster218.com. Hit me up on Facebook and let me know if you know who they were, where are they. Polygram's looking for sacrifice. Yeah, it's 31 years since the recording of their debut album. So that's just a commercial I have. I've been paid to read, folks. All I do is read them. So I think we've done all we can do on the sports field. I think we're going to move on to our music for the night. I want to, you know, I'm sure there'll be some radios turning off. I know not everybody's a big fan of the music scene, but folks, I haven't done music in a couple weeks, and I got a couple things backing up. So we're going to go out there and start it up. I talked about this once before. I'm a huge, absolute huge Eddie Trunk fan. I love his podcast every week. I listen to it religiously. He has had some major guests. I listened to Michael Anthony last week, Glenn Hughes, Tom Kiefer from Cinderella. They had one episode with Doro and Mark Turinello from Accept. They had a That Metal Show kind of episode with Don Jameson and Jim Florentine, which was spectacular. They're doing their top five albums of the year, which I didn't agree with, by the way. I'm a big list guy, we all know. And I want to, but I have to tell you, this week is Ace Frehley. I haven't had a chance to listen to the whole thing yet. I started listening to it a little before the show. But I have to tell you, folks, if you get a minute, go to podcast1.com, type in Eddie Trunk, and all the different podcasts comes up. And if you got time, take a listen. They're hysterical. Bobby Blitz from Overkill was great. You know, go out there, listen to them. It keeps you up to date on all your heroes, all the people we listen to. You know, they're all out there still, and the Michael Anthony one was funny as hell. I think, like I said, I get a chance to listen to the Ace one. I thought it was funny. Ace was talking about how at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the night was over. He actually had his guitar under the table, and because of the overages on some of the speeches, he wasn't able to play at the end of the night with Slash. And he was getting up to leave his party, and he actually forgot his Hall of Fame award on the table. Like, it was like no big deal to him. He left without it, and they're just recovering it. It's funny, guys. If you got a minute, podcast1.com, Eddie Trunk, listen to it. It is great. I listen to it every week. I usually play the new episodes over the weekend. I'm sitting in the house paying the bills or doing some work, and it's on in the background. I just love it. I absolutely do. So I get nothing out of it, folks. I know you hear me all the time talking about Eddie Trunk and That Metal Show. And all, you know, it just ways, you know, to keep listening to what we all grew up listening to and loving. And, you know, if I can pass on to the few people who don't listen to his show or don't go on his website or don't go on to MetalSludge.tv, that's what I want to do. So on a couple of new things. Mr. Big, again, I know most of you guys think Mr. Big to be with you, and Mr. Big has got a great sound. I mean, you're talking about two of the best musicians of their era, their genre, and Paul Gilbert and Billy Sheehan, the bass player. But Eric Martin still sounds so good, and they put out a new song called "The Monster in Me," and it was there's a new CD on the way called "The Stories We Could Tell." I listened to the one song that they released, loved it, loved the sound. You get a minute, Google Mr. Big, go on MetalSludge.tv, go to Eddie Trunk, and there's usually links to these times. I think this one was on Metal Sludge. Mr. Big is a good, heavy, I'm calling heavy metal band. They're a good, hard rock band. Don't judge them by the one power ballad that's, you know, still out there and people still associate them with. Again, Mr. Big is putting out good stuff. Their last album, I think it was called "What If," was a good album. I'm letting you know they're still out there. There's an interesting band out there. I'm not a huge fan of what I heard, but Tracy Guns, Ricky Rocket, and Eric Brittingham from Cinderella are in a band called Devil City Angels. They released an EP. Not great. A lot of remakes. I heard some Cinderella stuff. I heard some stuff from LA Guns. They have some stuff videos out there. Not overly impressed. It was okay. You know, folks, I have to be honest and tell you what I think on both ends. So I'm doing that now. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. I told you that all sorts of bands are out there doing their thing. And there's so many of these bands that are crossing. George Lynch has got one coming up. I'll get to that one, but he's in like seven different projects. You know, there's guys out there who are doing two or three different projects. And I want to get touch on that. I'm hoping some guys, people call in about when I talk about this in a minute. Is the Gene Simmons Rock Is Dead. And when I first heard and saw the thing from Gene saying Rock Is Dead, I said, oh, listen, Gene, who, you know, what's he talking about? Another, shut up. I've heard enough from Gene Simmons, but you know what? He's got a bit of a point. And the point I'm trying to make is rock and roll is not a single... Rock and roll is about albums, CDs. Rock and roll is about, you know, 10, 12 songs. Not about putting out one song every once in a blue moon and a single. That's not rock and roll. Rock and roll is about bands and, you know, having an album, and you go out there and you play a concert and you do 8 of the 10 songs that are on the album and you do some old stuff. So from that end of it, I understand what Gene's talking about. You know, most people don't go buy a CD anymore. Most people don't go buy the vinyl that's being reissued nowadays. Most people go on YouTube and download stuff or listen to it or go to iTunes and pick off one or two songs and put them on their iPod or put them on their smartphones. And to that end of it, I understand what Gene meant. And basically is you're losing the kid or the kids sitting in the garage practicing for hours. You're missing the guy writing 15 songs, and we're not getting that great next musician or band or singer because everybody is trying to do the least amount possible to make some sort of money with five different acts. And I think, it's just rock is based on concerts. Rock is based on albums. You know, that's where rock and roll comes from the early days, you know, when they had, you know, five or six or seven acts touring on buses around the country. And Alan Freed, you know, and people like that putting on shows to the 70s and 80s of the arena rock. And bands getting out there playing huge shows in front of 70,000 and 80,000 people. You know, there aren't bands doing that anymore. I'm not talking about the bands from those eras, the Maidens, the Priest, and Rush. I'm talking about new bands. You know, they're not those bands anymore. You know, all these new bands are going out there, and, you know, other than a festival here and there, they're playing shows in 3,000 seat, 5,000 seat arenas. And that's where I think Gene's coming from when he talks about Rock Is Dead. And again, you don't want to believe that, but I think to a certain extent that he's right. It's all computer generated. It's all this singles from people like Rihanna and Katy Perry and bands and artists like that where, you know, you don't know who their band is. You don't pay attention to them. They're not, you know, we need more stuff from the new Van Halens of the world. You know, when are we going to see that band that, you know, when are we going to see the next Guns N' Roses? You know, a band that comes in and people just got to go see, you know, it's not these boy bands and, you know, so when Gene says rock is dead, I understand what he's talking about, and I don't necessarily disagree with him. that the Rock that we know might never come back. I think that's a shame. Growing up, it was so much fun to wait for that new album, that new CD, you know, wait for the band to come to town, to promote it. You know, there's no better thrill growing up when I did go to see my favorite band play my favorite album. You know, and I think it's a lost art. It's a lost treasure that we may never get back. So, you know, Gene, this one, you're out of money. Yeah, we go back to bands. We're talking about these, you know, celebrity bands. We got a new one in, Sweet Lynch. And I heard Sweet Lynch this week. Sweet Lynch is Michael Sweet from Striper, George Lynch, James Lomenzo, and Brian Tichy. That's a pretty good lineup, folks. And if they ever could sit down and do more than a single or two, it would be interesting to hear. Now, I know Michael Sweet, Striper's still vibrant and putting out stuff, so you know maybe it's not a full-time gig. Maybe it's more like the Chicken Foot guys with Chad Smith and Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony. Maybe that's, you know, it'll be when there's time, they'll do projects. But they did release a really cool song in honor of 9/11. And I heard it, and it was really a good, good tune. If you got a minute, again, MetalSludgeTeam.tv, go on, look for Sweet Lynch, and listen to the song. I thought the song was fantastic. I really had a good time listening to that song, and I'm almost hoping that that they'll come back out and do more stuff. So, also, I got to put something to bed. There was a little bit of a controversy this week on the on my Facebook page. Carl Bolero was talking about the my calls from last week from my brother about Maiden and Steve Harris. And we got into a conversation. Carl, I love the first two Maiden albums, but Number the Beast, in a close runoff with Peace of Mind, are the best Maiden albums out there. I love the first two albums. Killers is great. Love Iron Maiden. But when you're talking Maiden, you were talking Number of the Beast. That's what I put them on the map. And I think their best work is there. So, Carl, you're wrong. If you're listening, I'm telling you, as a Maiden fan, Number of the Beast is the way to go. The other thing I want to talk about, I saw a very interesting interview with Jakey Lee, formerly of Ozzy's band back in the 80s, currently with Red Dragon Cartel, putting out good stuff. They had a really, really terrific interview with Jake, where he talked about how he got the gig with Ozzy, how he got... you know, how he collaborated with Bob Daisley with A Bark in the Moon. It was an interesting article. He and another guy who talked about how people learn to play guitar nowadays. And he had a really interesting point that I want to make real fast. And Hive's going to glow, and I'm going to call it a day soon. But he mentioned how people nowadays, well, let's put it this way. Back in the day, he said that when they learned the music, you could put five guys in a room with a recording with some sort of a device to play the music. And when you were done, those five guys would have all learned the same song maybe five different ways. And that freedom of expression gave people the opportunity to become musicians and be more independent, have their own style, figure out things for themselves. Where nowadays, and I'm guilty of it myself, you go on YouTube, instead of going on to an album and picking it off like the old days where you'd move the needle back and forth and hear a song and keep playing chords and keep playing notes until you got the right combination. Nowadays, you go on YouTube and you find a guy and he teaches thousands of people to play a song the same way. So now you get five people in the room, they're all playing the same way, right or wrong. And the let's call it, I don't know what to call it, the way people express themselves is being lost, because instead of going out there and learning things for ourselves, we're all being fed the same information. And I thought it was a great, great interview, and I recommend you listen to that one. That was a lot of fun to listen to. Again, folks, excuse myself. I get a little under the weather this week. I'm pushing myself. I want to again remind everybody that next week the benefit is canceled. No benefit for the lifestyle for the disabled. Let's see what else we want to talk about. Again, I want to give a shout out to Mike Clopsy and the Farrell Lions football team. Good luck on Friday night in the big game against Dumbarton. Again, my parents, happy anniversary. Happy birthday to Emmy. Good luck to Uncle Bob. Again, folks, remember PolyGram. They're trying to find those guys from Sacrifice. Please, give them a hand. If you got any information, if you know anything about the whereabouts of the three main guys, and if you don't know, there was a singer. He didn't last long, maybe one practice. But there was a singer. So if you know who the singer from Sacrifice was and where he is now, along with the three main guys, please get that information out to PolyGram through me. Hit me up on Facebook. Send me an email. Send me a text if you know me. But let's find these guys and let's get them together. Maybe we can get ourselves a Sacrifice reunion concert to celebrate their 31 years from the day they got together. So I see the board's empty. Nobody's out there. I think we've touched on everything there is to touch on. Again, I want to touch base a little bit on the conversation I had about my brother last week with the Iron Maiden stuff. Iron Maiden is the best band of all time. Sorry, Rich. I love the stuff that they make. I love the music. I know it all sounds the same. I know it all has the same gallop through it. I know how it works, but I still love it. And I would actually change a bit. So, and on that note, we got about 15 minutes left of the show, but I think we've gone through all of our topics. We've gone through all of our callers. So I think I'm going to start off this week a little early. I'm going to say thank you to everybody. I want to thank everybody who helps me out every week, especially my wife. She sets me all up back here, keeps the house noise to a minimum. I want to again wish my parents a happy anniversary. I want to say thank you to all my callers tonight. A lot of great callers. Even Giuseppe was good again. You know, I got to tell you, I get more comments, good or bad, about my Giuseppe calls. He puts a lot of effort into it, and I want to thank him personally for all he does. Again, to a couple people I didn't get to, I apologize, I lost you. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Again, I apologize for my nose still being stuffed up. But unfortunately, allergies are killing me this year. And I'm going to say thank you again. Next week, same time, same bat channel, 6:30. I'm sure there'll be more to talk about. Maybe we'll have a conclusion to the Ray Rice fiasco. We'll have some more stuff on the NFL season, obviously. I like the Steelers tonight. I like the Giants this weekend. I am going to... What's the spread on the Jet game? I go by the spread, folks, so I need to see what the spread for the Jets on is this week. Boy, how come it's not there? Oh, there it is. The Packers are given 8. You know, in that situation, I might like the Jets. I'm not necessarily rooting for them, but I think I might like the Jets getting 8 points. I like the Giants, regardless of the spread. Again, keep an eye out for Penn State this week. Penn State and Rutgers play. I think that's going to be interesting to see how that goes over. And that's it, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. We'll see you next week. Keep on rocking, folks. Keep on rocking.
Down goes Frazier.
consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game.
Over.
You believe in that?